Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you this morning. Appreciate your presence here. We do have those who are visiting with us, and we are thankful that you are here. We hope that you'll be back every opportunity that you have. One quick announcement that found out after services had begun is Zoe got into nursing school. And so proud of her and congratulate her in that. I know that you want to do the same, but just wanted to make you aware of that. Yesterday, I spent 5 hours at Dad's house. I was telling Mr. David, continuing to go through stuff and separate stuff. And when I left, I felt like it looked like exactly the same way it did when I arrived 5 hours before that. And so, and I know many of y'all have done that. You know that feeling. You spend all that time and you look around and you're like, I didn't even make a dent here. But I appreciate so much the opportunity to be here this morning so that we can study God's Word together. This morning and today, both tonight also, we're going to spend some time looking at a quality that we all need. And that is the need for courage. We see through so many different accounts in the Bible, those who were courageous and as a result were able to do the will of God. And this morning we want to spend some time looking at someone from the Old Testament that fits that bill. And then tonight, we're going to look at someone from the New Testament. There is no doubt if you and I are going to be faithful children of God, we are going to need to be courageous. In Numbers chapter 13, Moses, by inspiration, records the sending out of the 12 spies. They were in a region called Kadesh Barnea, and these spies were to go into the land of Canaan. This was the promised land. This was the land that God had promised to Abraham and Isaac and the Jacob to give to their descendants. And they were to go into the land, and Moses gave them instructions in Numbers 13, verse 2. God tells Moses, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them." So 12 men were selected, one from each tribe. And these men were given their orders from Moses. Moses told them to check out the land, to look at the people of the land, to see whether they were strong or whether they were weak, whether they were few or whether they were many. They were to spy out the cities that these individuals dwelt in, or whether they were good cities or bad cities, whether these individuals dwelt in tents or whether they dwelt in strongholds. They were also to check out the fruit of the land and to bring back some samples of that. Moses told them to be of good courage, and they departed on that mission. After 40 days, these 12 men returned. They showed the people the fruit of the land, and they began to deliver their report. And in Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 27, "And they told him, 'We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit.'" If the report would have stopped there, it would have been okay. Verse 21, though, begins with the word, "However." The people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak here. The descendants of Anak were those who were what we would refer to as giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. Now this report was not delivered by all 12 spies. These was the report of 10 of those spies. And their report was distracting. It distracted the people from what God was telling them to do by telling them all the things that were wrong. It was a very pessimistic report. Later on, we read that they said, the people there were giants and we are as grasshoppers. And this report was destructive. As a result of this report, the people are going to end up rebelling against God. And then we come to verse 30. In verse 30, we read of a man by the name of Caleb. Now, while Caleb is the only one mentioned in verse 30, we learn later on that Joshua was right there beside Caleb in this. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses. and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." The character of Caleb is something that every Christian should seek to emulate. His character is seen in this great statement that he makes. And as we look at that great statement this morning, as we think about the need for courage, there are six things that we want to notice about this statement. Number one this morning, we want to first notice Caleb contrasted. Going back to Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, that passage begins with a three-letter word, "but." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Just as the 10 spies had delivered their report, remember they said, "Hey, here's all the great things about it, however." It's a word of contrast, right? Then they deliver their report of how they can't do it. Then we have Caleb step in, "but," another word of contrast. See, what Caleb is saying, contrast against what they're saying. Caleb's saying what they're saying is not correct. He says, "Let me give you a different picture. Let me paint for you a different portrait." They say we can't. Caleb said we can. So often in life, it is the fact that as Christians, our life is going to be and should be contrasted with the world. The people could tell a difference between what Caleb said and what the 10 spies said, right? All right, y'all got to wake up. This is yes. They could see a difference between the two. And the same should be true for us today. People should be able to see a difference between Christians and the world. So we look at this passage, as we look at this statement by Caleb, the first thing we see is the contrast between what they said and what Caleb said. But number two, we see Caleb was courageous. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses. I want you to think about the scene here. Caleb is standing before what is very quickly becoming an angry mob. In fact, in chapter 14, we see the same mob wants to go back to Egypt. They want to stone Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, do away with them, elect some folks to take them back to Egypt. And it is before that group of people that Caleb stands up and basically says, "Everyone hush." You don't think that took some courage? I don't know if you noticed the picture in the opening slide, but it's a picture of all fish going one way, but then there's one fish that's different, and he's going the other way. And that is, in essence, what Caleb does here. Everyone was saying, "We can't." They're grumbling and complaining. They're murmuring. They want to go back to Egypt. They want to be done with all this. And Caleb says, "Hush. God said we can." Caleb was courageous. And Christians today must also be courageous if we're going to carry out the will of God. How do we become courageous like Caleb? It's been said that courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the presence of faith. I like that statement. Courage is not the absence of fear. Was it possible that Caleb had some fear going on when he stood up in front of that mob of people? I'm sure. Any sane person would. Courage isn't the absence of that fear, but it's the presence of faith. There's a children's song that we don't sing it much, but it goes, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. No, sir." That was the attitude of Caleb. Wasn't that fear was absent here, but Caleb realized his faith was greater than his fear. How do we have that same faith? Romans 10:17, "So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God." We spend time in God's Word. We read and look at these examples, such as this one is of Caleb and others, to build our faith. and thus build our courage. Friends, it takes courage to change. It takes courage to make that decision. You know what? I'm going to stop living this way and I'm going to start living that way. It takes courage to step out in that aisle. It takes courage to make that change. It takes courage to live the Christian life day in and day out. It takes courage to stand with Christ. And I use the word with there on purpose. We oftentimes talk about standing up for Christ. And that's true, but really we stand with Christ because He's right there with us. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul told Timothy, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Revelation 21:8, John tells us that the fearful and the unbelieving, and he goes on to list others in those categories that he gives, but he mentions the fearful and the unbelieving shall be cast into the lake of fire. Those who are without faith and who are without courage to do God's will. I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be you. We need to be like Caleb. We need to be courageous. Number three, as we look at this statement from Caleb, we see that Caleb cooperated. Going back to Numbers 13:30, "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Caleb wasn't seeking any power, any rank, or any personal gain here. He desired no glory for himself. He says, "This is a task for all of us to do. This is something that we all need to be a part of." And he knew the task at hand was going to require all of them to work together if they were going to accomplish it. Friends, too often times, we have a tendency to allow just a handful of people to do all the rowing. You know what happens in a rowboat if you just got just a few people doing all the rowing? What eventually happens to those people doing the rowing? They get tired, don't they? And they stop rowing. But if you get everybody in that rowboat, everybody grabbing an oar, everybody rowing together, it makes the ride so much smoother. It makes the ride easier. The devil loves division. Matthew 12:25, Jesus said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." The devil wants to divide. He seeks to divide. He seeks to divide us across gender lines, across racial lines, across socioeconomic lines, over age. Anything he can figure out a way to get us to be divided, that's what he wants to do. Do you know what our Lord loves? He loves unity. You know how I know that? Turn to John 17 and read that prayer. You know, we talk about the Lord's Prayer sometimes when we're in Matthew chapter 6. And that's a good prayer, but it really is just a model prayer that Jesus gave. You want to read the Lord praying? Read John 17. That's where Jesus prayed. That's where he poured his heart out to the Father. And in John 17, the central theme of that entire prayer is for his people to be unified. Our Lord loves unity. Paul talks about the body of Christ and how every part is important. If we're going to accomplish our work, it's going to take everyone. Everyone working together in pursuing that goal. Hand in hand, heart in heart. We can and we will accomplish the mission of God. We've got to work together. Caleb was a man of cooperation. Number four, we see that Caleb was confident. Going back to our text, "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy.'" There was no hesitation in the voice of Caleb. And it was Caleb's courageousness that helped him to be confident. And y'all, confidence can be contagious. You know, unfortunately on this occasion, it was the pessimism and the downward attitude of the 10 spies that caught fire and went throughout the camp. But confidence can also be contagious. Preachers and teachers of the truth need to be confident in the things that we preach and teach. Friends, if we're timid about the truth, then why should we expect anyone to obey it? My short time working in sales, if I went into a place and said, hey, I'm here from Soul Classics 103.5 and Smooth Jazz 98.9. We sell radio advertisements, and you know, maybe it'll help your business, maybe it won't. If that's something you'd be interested in, I could talk to you if you want to. If you don't, I understand. You think that's how I went into a business? Absolutely not. I went in there with the mindset of, I've got something that can help your business. And if you'll give me 5 minutes, I can show you how it can help your business. Because I believed in what I was selling them. I believed it was something that would be beneficial to them, that could help them. And friends, I believe way more in the gospel than I believe in those two radio stations that I worked with. The gospel can help mankind. The gospel has the solution for what ails man. And friends, we need to be confident when we talk to people about it. We need to preach powerfully. We need to teach persuasively. We also want to make note of the fact that Caleb was confident, but not arrogant. And friends, there is a difference. Too often, people professing to be faithful Christians and preachers professing to be gospel preachers carry an attitude of arrogance. Look at me, I know everything. I don't know everything. I'm a long way from knowing everything. And that attitude can sometimes turn people away from the truth. There's a difference between talking to someone and talking at someone. You see the difference? There's a difference between those two. We can be confident in the message of the Bible, in the message of the gospel, without being arrogant about it. Friends, there are lands that are waiting to be possessed. And if we're confident like Caleb, we can possess them. Also connected with this confidence is the idea of optimism. Caleb was a man of great confidence, and that made him a man of great optimism. Because of his faith, because of his courage, his willingness to cooperate with others, he had an optimistic outlook on what could be done. How many of you watched Winnie the Pooh growing up? I liked Winnie the Pooh. My wife does not like Winnie the Pooh. I liked Winnie the Pooh. In fact, Tigger was my favorite one because he was all energetic. But do you remember Eeyore? Eeyore walked around, well, he had four legs, I only have two, but head down, storm cloud over his head most of the time, raining on him. And you remember his catchphrase? Oh, bother. Too many in the Lord's church have the Eeyore complex. Friends, we've got things to be happy about. We've got things to smile about. Now, am I saying you're not going to have some difficult days? That's not what I'm saying. Am I saying you're not going to have any down days? That's not what I'm saying. We all have those. That's fine. But overall, Christians should have an optimistic outlook. Because we have great things to look forward to. And we serve a great God in the here and now. You see, the pessimists sees the possibility of failure. The optimist sees the reward. And that's the difference. There's a poem that I've read to you before. I know I've read it on Wednesday night. I'm pretty sure I've used it in sermons before. But it's entitled The Optimist. It's a poem by Richard Gunn. He says, I passed a sandlot yesterday. Some kids were playing ball. I strolled along the third baseline within the fielder's call. Say, what's the score? I asked the chap. He yelled to beat the stuffing. There's no one out, the base is full, and they're 42 to nothing. Well, you're getting beat, aren't you, my lad? And then in no time flat, he answered, no, sir, not as yet. Our side ain't been to bat. Sometimes it can seem like the world is winning 42 to nothing. Sometimes we look out and we see the numbers, we see the bad things that are happening, and it can feel that way. But our God says, I haven't been to bat yet. Friends, we can be confident. Just as Caleb was confident. Number five, Caleb was capable. Caleb was capable. Going back to our text, Numbers 13:30. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Notice Caleb's words there. We are well able to overcome it. Not only did Caleb believe that they were capable to do what God had said to do, but he believed that they were more than capable to do that. He wasn't ignoring the great task that set before them. He understood the difficulties that awaited them. We're talking about a man at the age of 80. Later on, the Bible will talk about when he took a mountain. When he fought against people and took a mountainous area. So he understands what is at stake. This isn't a man who's like, we can do it. I don't know what it is, but no, he knew what was coming. He understood that the land was inhabited by a great number of nations. He understood that those nations were strong. He understood that they had able defenses. But whereas the other 10 spies saw giants and themselves as grasshoppers, Caleb saw the inhabitants as grasshoppers and themselves as giants. Friend, you can hear the boldness in Caleb's voice. God has equipped us with everything that we need for this life. Peter tells us that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given us everything that we need to make it from here to heaven. Friends, we are capable just like Caleb was. How was Caleb all these things? How was he courageous? How was he willing to cooperate? How was he confident and capable? Well, it all comes down to our final point. He was all of those things because of his companion. Because of his companion. You skip forward into the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers. And in verses 6 through 9, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. In these times in the ancient Near East, the rending of one's clothes was a show of great emotion. As the people here are deciding, we're not going to do it, we're going to turn back, we're going to go back to Egypt, Joshua and Caleb tear their clothes at that. And they said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy out, it's an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into that land and give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Their protection is removed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Caleb says, the Lord's our companion. Caleb knew that they could not lose as long as they had God on their side. And friends, we can have that same courage, that same confidence We can believe that we are just as capable because we have the same companion. I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible still says in Hebrews 13:5, He will never leave us nor forsake us. If we'll put our trust in God, then we can have courage and confidence in His capable hand. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Prince Caleb's a man that's worthy of our imitation. And just like Caleb, we have a promised land that's waiting us, and that's heaven. And just like Caleb, there needs to be a contrast between us and the world. We need to be courageous if we're going to live faithfully. We need to work together and cooperate in accomplishing that task. We need to have confidence and be capable because of our companion. And so let me ask you a serious question. Is God your companion this morning? Because friend, if He is not, then you don't have these qualities that we've talked about. If He is not, then you can't possess that promised land of heaven. But here's the great news about this morning. He's given you another chance. He's given you another opportunity. Maybe for some that means becoming a Christian for the very first time, turning from sin and putting Christ on in baptism. Maybe for others that means that you are a Christian, but you've turned away from Him. Friend, will you come home? God stands waiting. We stand willing. Will you come home right now? As together we stand and sing.